This is going to be a two-part. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, this chapter here is very important. He said, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Then he said this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk, so walk ye in. And Paul could see them from wherever he was, probably in jail at this time of his life, but he was beholding them by the Spirit. He saw what they were doing by the Spirit. Men and women of God can do this if the Lord show us something. And so, and that were a few times the Lord showed me what was going on at particular churches. And then I knew what to share because he gave me a word of knowledge and a vision. And then he gave me words of wisdom to speak to the end that people would be reconciled and healed. Now, that's why God do such things. This is powerful, folks. Nothing in the world couldn't do stuff like this. Not, it would be demise. When people of the world used witchcraft and they saw things in the spirit, it was just to create more bondage. They never helped. The world is opposite. And there are, the enemy has a counter for the things of God, and such as witchcraft. And see, witches, and they dabble in their foolishness, but it doesn't bring anybody to order. It doesn't help anybody. All it do is seem to give them power, but it really gives Satan power over people's lives. And they the witches get the satanic crumbs. They feel powerful, so they think they're somebody because they know what others don't, and they can do damage to people. They don't help nobody. They shouldn't even be alive. Now, but that's how it is. But thank God that he saved people out of that wickedness. But okay, now, but Paul was beholding that order and steadfastness of their faith in Christ. Okay, continue. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch this. This is possible. Verses 6 and 7 is possible. But it, verse 8 says, beware, be aware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They don't have the life of God. They envy it. They don't understand it, and they don't appreciate it. So every time Satan want to get people out of the flow of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, he introduced salvation by works, something that they can earn and pay for. So again, the enemy, Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiment of the world and not after Christ. See, the world don't understand how God operates. They have no passion for how God operates. They don't do the things of God, and they don't see what you see. But I thank the Lord that he helps us rise above all those things. And we come to a point where we can see and understand and enjoy the life of God. Satan is an enemy. He doesn't like the things of God. He wants things to be chaotic. So the Lord gave me something. This is a good place to share balance again. I do it in many broadcasts. He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. And then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. That's people who have relentless sincerity. And that's what Paul is encouraging people to walk in. But okay, the Lord also, I'm continuing what the Lord said about balance. He said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Then he said, proud men can never be balanced. He said, proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. That's why I said that earlier. I just got this a few weeks ago. He said, they are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. That's proud men. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view. Now, with that being said, let's continue what Paul was admonishing the people about. Okay. All right, so in verse 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You got to remember, all the other religions, just like even now, in those times, in Paul's day, they were salvation by works. You had to go out and do stuff to get the favor of your God, or many gods, or whatever gods you were serving. They had sex religions. You know, like Diana, and they had temple prostitutes, and they gave everything for this stuff. There was a big deal. Then they had Baal worship. They sacrificed children. They did it all. Salvation by works, and people bought into those witchcraft lies, and they were lies, and they're still in hell for it now. Now, here we are. We changed from the inside out by the blood of Jesus. We walk with the Lord. We have a relationship. We can receive knowledge and wisdom. He just said in a few verses prior that that we can. He's full of the God gives us great knowledge through Him, through Christ. And then he said, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 9 was what I was looking for. So we have access to the knowledge of God in every category, in any category. God can give you the inside view. And then he said in verse 10, and you are complete in Him, which is the head above all principality and power. You don't need anybody to complete you. People want to get married. Women feel like I'm not complete because I don't have a husband. Men think I'm not complete because I don't have a wife and a family. You're complete in Jesus. You don't need anything from the world to be complete. You're complete in Jesus Christ. If you got Jesus Christ, you have access to everything. And then when you have a wife and family, that's a bonus. And when people help you in ministry, that's a bonus. If they don't help you at all, you can still get the job done if you won't quit. Verse 11, he said, in whom also... you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Bear with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So all the things that people thought they were doing to be righteous, was they didn't make them righteous. When they killed in the Old Testament, they sacrificed the animals to cover their sins. It didn't wash them away. It just covered it. It was pointing to the cross because Jesus washed away our sins. But people were still used to their deeds making them good. So the devil's taking an advantage. Now he's using people to put pressure on God's people, who are actually free right now, right here and now. They're not free. They're still convinced that they got to be have salvation by works. See, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And they know this. But the enemy's trying to get people to be leavened again with the unfruitful works of darkness. And it's darkness because you have to, if you can't do both. If Either Jesus made you righteous or your own works make you righteous. If your own works make you righteous, you're unrighteous all over again. That's what he's showing us. He's verse 16 said, let no man therefore judge you in meat, which is food, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days. See, all those ceremonial laws pointed to Jesus. You've got the destination. You don't need the road signs anymore. But they're putting pressure on you to ease you back into salvation by works. He said, verse 7, see, this proves what I just said. He said, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head from which all the body joints, by joints and bands having nourishment, ministered, knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the user, after the commandments and doctrines of men. The enemy is trying to get people to trade the living God, Christ, for the things that perish, the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor, but to the satisfying of the flesh. That's the motive of people. I can get them to change. I can get them to do it my way. That's worldly. And it's contagious and it's evil. So in those days, now they were trying to get them to do the rituals that they are used to get them to take attention away from the life of God. Because people who are living, they have hatred in them. They don't share the love of God. See, before God taught me about balance, He taught me. He helped me see what I didn't see as clear before. See, now He gave me this writing about the world system. He said, "I saw a YouTube video, and it showed how evil people could really be." I said, "Man, why would people be so low? Why would a man do something like that?" And the Lord gave me this. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. All who have, let me read it again. This was March 21st, 2022. All who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Now that means if you love anything in the world, you're going to turn into an enemy of God. God will be your enemy. You're going to be his enemy. Because you love something of Satan. You love something that came from Satan. If it originated from Satan, it can't be good. And it's altogether purely at war with God. So any of his little drips of leaven is designed to leaven your heart. This is a nasty world. Being in it, don't underestimate the influence of it. When Abraham was in Canaan land 10 years, he listened to Sarah when she had him to Sarai. Her name was Sarai then. When he had a child with her handmaid, which is Ishmael. Because that's what people do in that culture. So if you're in culture long enough, it'll rub off on you. Or you can do things God's way. See, you're washed in the blood. You have the love of God in you. If you can stick to the love of God, you'll fulfill the law. You'll fulfill the ceremonial law that pointed to Jesus. You can stay in the love of God, and your life will work. You don't need people's approval anymore. You don't need anybody's stamp of approval. As a man of God, sometimes people try to earn people's approval so that they can be a well-known preacher, so that they can be trusted. Foolishness. If you live the life of God, you'll land where you're supposed to. If you live your, if you honor God, He'll honor you. You don't need man to honor you. And sometimes, and when it comes to encouragement, you don't need encouragement either. Those are props and crutches. If people encourage you, I thank God when people encourage me. I remember it. It blesses me. But I have to keep moving whether I get encouragement or not. One day I was thinking about how the I got a lot of friends. And the Lord had me saying interesting things on the radio. And I really desire that everybody I know personally, all my friends and I grew up with, I wish they would listen to the radio broadcast. Not because, not for my sake, really, because God had me saying things that I know people need. And it blesses me. Sometimes on Sunday evening, I might get in my pool and listen to the broadcast. And I say, man, the Lord had me saying that. I wish, and I desired that others heard it. I said, all the friends I got, nobody really listened to the broadcast. Family, friends, you know, people don't listen to it. They don't even know what channel I come on. That's bad, but that's how it is. And one day I was, one Saturday morning, I was walking to the mailbox and I just thought about it. And then Benjamin Kendrick called. He said, man, I was driving the truck and listened to you. You're a real blessing. So I said, now the Lord knew I needed to hear that. That's good. I welcome encouragement is a wonderful thing, but you can't depend on it. If you're going to go, you need to have it in you to go forward, whether you have encouragement or not. And then a few weeks went by and it happened again. I just said, man, I wish my friends heard. And Benjamin called again. I said, man, that really blessed me. Now, the world don't have, they don't share the same love that you do. People can do the same deeds for different reasons. Like I gave an example earlier. Some people have a revelation of tithing, and you hear them talk about tithe now, how God blessed them, and they can't wait to tithe. 10 years later, they're saying the same thing. 10 years later than that, they're saying the same thing. Because they have the revelation of it, and they're doing it for the right reasons. Then some people tithe because the pastor said do it. And they're coerced into it. And so they don't want nobody to know that they stingy, so they just tithe. Well, now, they're not measuring it as big as the other person that has a revelation. They never got the revelation of it. But God can somewhat bless their lives more than the person that just say, I ain't tithing no more. That don't work. I ain't doing it. I've heard people say that. They lack a revelation of it. Their heart has become hardened against something, a principle of God. I'm just using tithing for an example because a lot of people teach it and have all kind of opinions about it. But there are other things just as people do the same way. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people have a revelation of it and they continue on and begin to prophesy. They desire the gifts of God. They continue forward. They have a revelation of what God is capable of. While some people just say, oh, it don't take all that crazy dancing and shouting that people do. I ain't going to be no phony. And they miss out. They cut their blessings off because they limited the Holy Spirit to dancing and shouting. And now they become sophisticated. See, the brother and the sister with the revelation, they still dance and shout and they seek the Lord and get answers. And so many people I know that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they hardly ever get an answer from God because they don't have a revelation of what God can do. And it's a sad thing. And I like to make, God did, He went through a lot of trouble. Think about what He did. This gift is for you, your children, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then He had to make it even plainer than that. He said, your servants will prophesy. Your handmaidens. The servants and the handmaidens will prophesy. What does that do to the rebellious Jewish mind who loves the law and they are veiled against the word of God? They have no clue about what God is, the heart of God's word. They don't know the spirit of the word, because when he came to them, when Jesus came to them, they wanted him dead. And if you think the religious leaders was bad, Pilate tried to usher Jesus into the hands of the crowd, where he worked miracles, surely they'll love him and take him home. And then we'll crucify Barabbas instead. No. The crowd, they wanted Barabbas. It's not Jesus. So, this is your society. Society will go along to get along on both sides. That's a problem, too. They'll say they love God, and they know they don't like him. In their ways, they don't like him. When they hear the word, the living word of God, they withdraw themselves. Because, now I want to finish this word. He said, God was answering my question. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. It's there. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. Nor can they value it. They will never yield. Never. God said the word never, folks. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to the truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it, according to the parable of the sower. This is what the Lord gave to me in reply back in March 21st, 2022. Now, the thing is, you got to understand, when people hear the word, they hear different things. If they have a love for the world, they're angry. The Lord told me this morning, only my people will hear you. People that are persuaded by the world, they won't listen to you. He told me. He basically just shared that with me. I said, now things are starting to make sense. Because people that I thought would love the world, the word of God, they withdraw themselves. And I notice it. But people who want to know God, they talk. They come over and, it's different. And the Lord is involved. He gives more information around people that's hungry. But when people love the world, they always withdraw themselves. And the Lord's about to return, folks. The Laodicean church want to be the Laodicean church. And they think that what the God that's in their mind is the real God. And they're nothing like, when the real God, when Jesus speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, why do they withdraw themselves? I was concerned about this stuff like this a couple of years ago. And the Lord said, before my return, people are going to voice whatever's in their heart. Whatever's in their heart, that's what they're going to speak. And also, he said, because people are so, this world is so nasty and dirty, and people get confused. Just before he returned, the people that received the word of God in their heart, and that word is still in there, God is going to stir up that word. He's going to enlighten them with the word that they did receive to rescue them out of this nasty world. Because the leaven of this world will cause you to become the enemy of God. So when you have preachers that love God, they were on fire for God. They love God. They couldn't get enough of the things of God. And now they don't care. You know, they don't have that passion's gone. Jesus warned the churches so many ways not to leave their first love. And so many people have left it. And they're not trying to get it back. What Jesus said to the seven churches at the end of all those churches, he said, he that has ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner appear? You know, the unbelieving and the sinner appear. Where will they appear at? You know, when he said if the righteous scarcely be saved, why would he say that if it wasn't a real thing? You know, it's time now for people to know what God is doing and to partake of it. And to go forward. We're able to go forward. And it's time now to know him. It's time to go forward. And not let anybody spoil you with vain philosophy. But here it is. This is 1 Peter 4, verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Why would he have to say something like that? Why would the righteous scarcely be saved? Jesus said this way. Many will come to me in that day, in the future, saying, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name, cast out devils in your name. He's going to say, depart from me, you work iniquity. All of this is relevant. See, in the holiness church, the enemy tried to bring back what the Jews was trying to do against the early church, salvation by works. Everything was about how you dress. You had to keep these rules. And it suggested that you weren't righteous unless you keep these rules. Now, some churches did it different. But that spirit is still on the loose. And the church, many have fallen away. You have to stay in the love of God. Our righteousness is of Jesus. Never forget it. Okay, how wonderful things go. Jesus is the only reason I'm saved. And my righteous deeds is an ability that I've gained. It's not what I do to stay saved. To stay saved, I believe on Jesus and I love God. And everything else. See, you can try to live by the letter of the law. Okay, today I won't lie. I won't steal. You can read the word and say, I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. That's a miserable thing to do. Or the easy way and the most intelligent way to do it is just love everybody and you ain't going to want to do nobody wrong. And that's what God gave us. Satan, don't let Satan distract you or anybody you know of their love of God. Our love for God, that's our power source. We're not power. The anointing is power. It's powerful all by itself. The gifts, the anointing, the glories we enter into. But the real deal is the love of God we walk in. We're connected to God. And when you position yourself to do whatever he say, you're going to see miracles. But the moment you try to start working of your own will, of your own accord, that's when you're going to have problems. I'm saying these things to encourage God's people because it's important. The little foxes do spoil the vine. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And whenever you hear anybody speak a good word, share that person's knowledge with others. Show them how to get to those videos. I've been enjoying the Victory Channel that Kenneth Copeland and his people started. And I thank God for all the ministers. And I don't have to watch them lousy commercials anymore. Well, I'm out of time. We'll do it next time.